Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
If you want to pull out those notes from your worship guide this morning, a couple weeks ago during worship, as you notice, oftentimes our kids are up here up in the front, and during one of the worship services, I was standing right over there and happened to see one of the little guys as he was worshiping, starting to pull out these unique dance moves during worship. And so he was kind of doing this one called the dab, where you go like that. So he was doing this, and then he was doing this other one that's like flossing, they call it, I guess. I don't know. It's on some video game. But, you know, he happened to be the son of one of our council members. So I was talking to this council member at our meeting this last week saying, "Hey, I saw your son's dance moves during worship. Those were great." And he said, "Oh, my." He's like, "I was sitting there like three rows behind him during worship going, No. Like he was like, I was afraid that all he was gonna lead all the other kids astray, and he told me he went up and apologized to Drew after worship that day, and Drew said, "No, it's great. I love that he's just worshiping God in his own way." And I said, "Well, yeah," and he was like, I was glad to hear that. And I said, "Yeah, but you don't know that in the bylaws it says that none of our council members, if your kids do crazy dance moves during worship, you can't be on the council anymore." So, no, that's not true. But it made me kind of think a little bit about how when it comes to worship, you know, there can be these areas for us that seem uncertain or seem kind of just... sometimes we lack clarity, I think, when it comes to understanding how I worship, why do we worship the way we do, what does it all look like. And, you know, today I want to get a little more practical, because I think understanding worship is so important, because I think oftentimes, again, we don't have a lot of clarity. It reminds me of the old, there's some little fable I remember hearing. I don't know if it's a true story, but it's the story of a newlywed couple who has just moved into their new apartment. They're brandly, recently new married, and she's excited to bake her first ham dinner. And so she pulls out the ham and takes it, you know, puts it on the counter and gets the butcher knife out and hacks off the ends of the ham and throws them in the trash. And her husband goes, "Why did you do that? I mean, that's perfectly good ham you just threw out." And she said, "Oh, I don't know, my mom is the one that does it, and I think she does it because it adds to the flavor of the ham." And the husband's like, "I don't buy that." So he calls his mother-in-law and says, "Hey, Your daughter just cut off the ends of the ham and threw them out, and she said it's because you do it. Why do you do that?" And the mom said, "I don't know. My mom did it. I just knew it tasted delicious, so I thought I should do it too." So then he calls grandma and says, "Grandma, your daughter and your granddaughter, you know, they hack off the ends of the ham. Why do they do that? You know, why do you do it? Because they said they do it because you did it." And she said, "Well, easy. I did it because I had to fit the ham in the pan. And the only way to do that was to cut the ends off." And so again, I think it's important for us to realize that sometimes tradition and certain things can shape why we do what we do. And I want this morning to take some time, though, to look at the Word of God and to understand a little bit more about worship, because the New Testament in particular, and even into the Old Testament, give us some examples and even some guidance when it comes to worship and how we worship, that when we understand how we can worship God and even how we can step deeper and more intentionally into our ways of worship, that it allows us to encounter Him and to grow in Him as well. And so if you have a Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5. And today, as we talk about worship, as we've been doing this over the last couple of weeks, and I want to bring some personal application for you, but I want you to also think about it in terms of corporate application. So some of this will apply a little bit to our worship times together corporately, but also, again, our personal daily lives as we grow in our relationship with God, that there's things we can learn for that as well. But I think we have to begin with this question. The question, first and foremost, is why should you learn and grow in the ways of worship? Why should you? Why should you this morning take time to even together? Why should we open God's word? Why should this be a priority? And so in thinking about that, I want to share with you kind of my reason why. And I want to do this, first of all, just from a very practical standpoint. And I want to say this, that when we choose to learn the ways of worship, we choose to learn God's love language. So why should you and I give attention to worship? Why should you and I even, maybe you've been in church for some time, why should you even give some thought to ways that maybe you can grow and develop in your ways of worship? It's because when you learn how to express yourself to God in worship, you learn to speak His love language. And if you go, well, what do you mean by love language? Well, I'm using a terminology that's based out of a relationship book called The Five Love Languages. Maybe you've heard of it. It's been around for quite a while by Dr. Gary Chapman, I believe his name is. And he shares these love languages that are essential for relationships, that it's really helpful in your relationship sometimes to understand the love language of your other so that you can then better communicate with them and help them know that you love them and help them feel valued. And so, in that same way, if you're going to have a relationship with God, it's important to understand His love language, and His love language from us is worship. And if you want to grow in your relationship with God, again, I want to tell you this morning that you need to then grow in your relationship with Him when it comes to worship. Learning how to worship is where it's at. And so then, I think the next question that should follow that is, and I want you to think about this yourself this morning. Do you want to be close with God? I mean, do you want to strengthen and grow your relationship with Him in a way where you actually are closer to Him than you were before? Because when we go through this life, you're going to face things next week, next year, 10 years from now. You're going to face things that at the end of the day, the question is, what's going to get you to the other side? Or even more, who's going to get you to the other side? And I would submit to you this morning that the only thing that's going to sustain you through this life and give you strength to live your life well and even experience abundant life, it's going to come through relationship with God. That when you're close to Him, you're going to be able to draw on Him for wisdom. You're going to be able to draw on Him for strength. You're going to be able to see things through His eyes, and you're going to have this strength and this faith that allows you to endure and allows you to persevere. And so, do you want to be close to God? Because I would submit again this morning, if you want to be close to Him, worship is a central part of that. I remember when I was in high school, I've talked on numerous occasions about how my later years of high school were when I would just say I fell in love with Jesus, and I really began truly to have a relationship with Him, and I truly began to follow Him, that I kind of moved from this kind of comfort zone, just going through the motions, Christian kid who had grown up in the church, to actually hungering for God, hungering to know Him, hungering to grow. And yet, what happened during that season was there was about a year and a half period of time where five people that I was close to died suddenly, tragically, prematurely, in every occasion. And there was this season where I faced one tragedy after another, after another, after another, after another. And as I went through those times, there were these moments where it kind of obviously hit me upside the head, but even more as I went through those times, I found myself going, God, there is more to this life than the things that many of my friends around me seem to think. There's more to this life than just being popular or getting rich or having success. That there is more to this life than that. And furthermore, I know that if I'm going to experience all that you have for me in this life, I need you. I need your presence. And so I remember praying a prayer like that when I was at camp and when I had this kind of, I would say, encounter with God. And so the thing I did immediately after that is I got home and I went to my youth pastor and I said, I want to know God. I want to learn how to pray. I want to learn how to relationship with him because I don't want to do this life in my own strength. I want all that God has for me. And that's when I began to experience and began to learn how to pray. And I began to learn how to worship and have this relationship with God. And so today, again, I want to, if you're in that place today, if you'd say either, for some of you, you go, man, I'm going through some stuff right now and I need God. I need relationship with him. Or others in this place, you'd say, you know what? I'm tired of trying to get by in this life in my own strength and I need to be close to him. I want to encourage you today to open your heart to learning the ways of worship because as you learn his love language, as you learn to have relationship with God and worship, you'll draw close to him, and in that place, you'll have all that you need. And so this morning, as we turn to Ephesians 5, I want to just begin by just opening our time in prayer, if I could. Would you join me in that? Lord, this morning, we come, Lord, human beings, Lord, that we would all acknowledge in this place that we're not perfect, Lord, and even more that we have weaknesses, and yet, Lord, you are strong. And we declare, God, our need for you this morning, and I pray that in this place, even as we open your word, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, that you would draw near to us, even as we draw near to you. Teach us how to have a relationship with you and to draw near to you in worship. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Ephesians 5, verse 15 says this. Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is answering this question as he's writing this letter to the church, as he's writing this letter to people that are wanting to grow in their faith. He says, how do you face evil times? How do you endure through challenging things and the things you face in this life, in this world? He said, here's the answer. Spirit-filled worship. How do you live in the face of the things that we see in this world? Spirit-filled worship is what will help us be wise. Spirit-filled worship is what will give us the insight and understanding to who God is. And that will lead us in how we should live. It's interesting, though, as you read this section of Scripture, you see this contrast he makes where he says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he goes into and then worshiping, you know, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord. But it's interesting, that contrast. But what I want us to understand here is really what Paul is pointing out is that if you want to make sure that you live a Spirit-filled life of worship, beware of anything in your life that you could use to try to cope with the things you're facing other than the presence of God. So he talks about being drunk with wine here, but I think you could put a lot of things in that blank. That whatever it is that you rely on when you start to face challenges, when you face evil, when you face things that are hard in this life, what is it that you turn to? Because for you, it could be, do not turn into a workaholic again. Do not start playing Candy Crush on your phone constantly. Do not start binge watching Netflix. Do not fill in the blank. But what is it that you turn to, that you start to rely on to cope with life as you start to face the things that you face. Maybe it's pouring your life into sports. Maybe it's a busy schedule. Whatever it is that keeps you from worshiping God in a greater way, that is what you need to make sure you avoid. And yet, if you're going to make sure to do well in the things that you're facing, then be filled with the Spirit and become a person of worship, Paul would say. So what do we need to then understand about this life of worship? Well, in Psalm 22, verse 3, he says this. The psalmist says, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." Other translations describe it as, "You inhabit the praises of your people." But there's this picture of when God's people worship him, he is enthroned. He shows up and he dwells among his people when they worship him, when they praise him. So when we gather together to worship, we become a dwelling place for God's presence. Pretty cool, right? And so our worship welcomes him. And when that happens, it welcomes it. Notice it says, "You are enthroned." Who sits on thrones? Kings, right? People in authority. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, it says, "To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever." Again, I think what's often happened is that worship is not fully understood. So many people falsely think that worship is just the warm-up to the sermon at church. We just use worship to kind of get ourselves warm up. I'm still waking up. It was an early morning, kind of late night. I'm kind of tired. Worship will kind of wake me up. No, worship is more than that. Worship is the means by which we welcome the dominion, as it talks about in Revelation, the dominion, the authority of the King of Kings into our lives and into our gathering. So when we worship him, again, it welcomes his presence and it welcomes him to come and do what he wants to do in our lives, in our families, in our community. In fact, let me give you three things that take place when we worship him in a way that welcomes his dominion. The first thing is that when we do this, first of all, God's word comes alive. When we worship him in a way that welcomes his presence, his word comes alive. What do I mean by that? It means that when we open the Bible, it's not just an intellectual exercise. It's not just the imparting of information. Again, church could be this classroom setting, couldn't it? Where I just show up and I say, "Okay, everybody, please open your textbooks to page number 894. And I could then proceed to lecture and give you all the information you need to have a holy life. Right? And we could be very academic about this whole thing. But what makes his word come to life is when we welcome his presence. And when we worship him, it welcomes his presence and his Holy Spirit begins to speak to us. And ultimately, as we open his word, all of a sudden, we go from being hearers to doers. That his word begins to speak to areas of our life where God says, "I want to grow you in this area. I want you to trust me with this thing." And again, God's word comes alive. The second thing that happens when we worship him in a way that welcomes his presence is that God's kingdom is established. God's kingdom is established. So when we worship him, again, the scriptures we just read describe that his dominion comes, that God's kingdom is established. And so when we worship him, again, what does that mean? It means that areas where brokenness is, he comes and he loves to heal and restore. People's lives are healed. Healed from things of their past. Healed from even ailments. People come to know him. People come to have a relationship with him when his kingdom comes. The third thing that happens is that hell's power is broken. See, when Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis, when sin happened and entered the human race, Satan, the Bible says, Satan was given this rulership in this world. And because man forfeited their dominion. Mankind said, you know, basically said, we want to do this our own way, but that's what gave entrance into Satan at the fall. Now, so worship then becomes this vital place where God's redemption begins to happen, where when we worship him, it welcomes his presence, and the power of hell, the power that was there in our lives and the brokenness through sin gets broken in his presence. In fact, this is illustrated even in the way Jesus teaches us how to pray. He says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, right? Your will be done, what, on earth as it is in heaven." So when we pray in these ways and when we worship him and we call out to heaven, it welcomes his power into our lives and into this world. So how do we make sure that we are worshiping in a way that allows that to happen? Next thing I want to show you here is then we need to create an environment of encounter. We need to create an environment of encounter where we encounter God, where we can draw near to him in worship. In fact, that's been God's desire for worship through the generations. In the book of Exodus chapter 25, God had given the Ten Commandments to his people, and then he began to give Moses instructions on how to build the tabernacle and how to worship him in Mount Sinai. And so there was this pattern for worship, and it was all about, it wasn't about religion, it wasn't about ritual, it was about God saying, I want you to follow me in these ways, because if you do, then you will be able to be redeemed from and restored from the brokenness of your sin, and you'll be able to enter into the greater things I have for you. But that's going to happen, you've got to encounter my presence in worship. Again, that's where the tabernacle became this environment where the priests would go and they would offer sacrifices to God on behalf of the people, and they would represent God back to the people. But then when Jesus came, he removed the need for that middleman, and he said, guess what? Now each and every one of you can go before God in his presence. You can worship him yourselves, and you can now experience that kind of that environment yourselves. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 2 describes how we have become a royal priesthood, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into light. So we shape an environment of encounter and worship. And around New Life, that is our passion. It is our conviction that when we gather here, we want every single person to encounter God in a unique and powerful way. Even last week, there was a simple little word, a prophetic word that God put on my heart, a little picture that I shared. And someone came to me and shared with me afterwards what was going on in their life and how what was spoken impacted them and how God spoke to them in a deep and transforming way. And they said, this changes everything for me. And see, that's what encounter looks like. It God meets us where we are. And the way that happens, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not because I'm some, you know, spiritual, you know, black belt, you know. It's because when we worship him, it welcomes his presence. You can experience that encounter here, but guess what? You can experience that every single day. I'm going to tell you this morning, I'll just share this. I didn't even get to tell my wife this, so don't tell her. I want to tell her myself. But But this, so the last, well, she knows this part of it. For the last 3 days, I've had this throbbing pain in my mouth. Just my tooth has been killing me, and so much so that the throbbing has been up to my ear. And I woke up this morning, and it was just throbbing pain. And I told her, I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know how I'm gonna do this today. I wish I could get to the dentist like before church, you know. But I go down to my chair and I'm sitting there and I'm just trying to pray and do my devotions and I'm just worshiping and I do my devotions and I started thinking, Lord, I'm gonna ask someone to pray for me when I get to church. And he said, why don't you just pray now? Just ask me now. I'm here. So I said, Lord, would you just take the pain away in my tooth? And immediately, the pain went away, the throbbing went away. That it was all the way up to my ear. It went away immediately, and to this moment, pain free. Yes, and I want you to know, I don't share that because I have some direct line to God. Because I can tell you right now, there are plenty of times where I've prayed and it doesn't happen. But I just want you to know that we serve a good God who wants to encounter us every single day, whether it's in your living room chair with your morning cup of coffee, or whether it's here in this house of worship, that when we worship him, he loves to show up. That's the kind of God we serve. And so, again, we want this to be an environment that people can encounter him. We want to remove distractions, and ultimately, we want to just come and say, God, we're here to worship you. In fact, can I tell you one thing I did do this morning to help that? I turned off my phone. I even turned off my iPad. It was me and my Bible and Jesus. Because sometimes, I'm going to tell you, those things can be a hindrance to the environment of encounter. So expect God to show up. Another thing that I want us to think about when it comes to worship is that if you're going to worship him in a way that allows you to get close to him, in a way that changes you, another thing I think we need to know is you got to worship with your whole self. You've got to worship with your whole self. So the biblical pattern of worship involves so many dimensions of the human personality: physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual. And it's interesting because I think most people would understand and acknowledge that worship should be spiritual from the heart, and even that it should be intelligent at some level. But I think oftentimes there can become this uneasiness around emotions and even physical expression when it comes to worship. That for some of us, I think it can be a little bit awkward for one reason or another. And yet what I think is always interesting about that is that most people that would kind of be uncomfortable or even a little hesitant when it comes to expressing themselves emotionally or physically in worship often would probably not have much of a problem with that happening in another setting. For instance, when I was a youth pastor, I remember seeing this so vividly. This kid in my youth group, he walked in on a Sunday morning, has his hands in his pockets, he goes and he sits down in his chair. We're starting to worship, and people are, you know, singing and clapping and, you know, lifting a hand up to heaven, and he's just sitting there with his hands in his pockets, sitting on his chair. Too cool for school, you know what I mean? And then the following Friday, I'm at the high school football game and hanging out with the students and all that, and I see him there, and his face is painted orange, and his chest is painted orange, and he's screaming and yelling, his hands are up in the air, and yeah! And then we're back at church on Sunday, and he's too cool for school, you know, hands in the pocket, no smile, no singing, no clapping. And again, I believe, and what's important for us to understand, I'm not trying to bring everyone to this place of conformity where we're all doing the exact same thing, as much as I think it's important for each of us individually to understand the importance of expressing ourselves before God in worship. You may go, well, I'm not much of a singer. I think it's important for you to sing. You don't have to sing loud. You don't even, you can even, you know, whisper, I don't care. But it's important whether it's clapping your hands or doing something that you're at least open to saying, God, I want to be close to you. I want to know you more. And if worship is your love language, then even if it may be uncomfortable for me, I want to learn how to take even baby steps into worship so that I can know you more. I mean, if you knew that your loved one, your spouse, your friend, your brother, your sister, if you knew that the only way to have closer relationship with them is that their love language is, let's say, gift giving, then if you want to be close to them, you're going to set a little bit of money aside and go get your wife flowers, right? You're going to go and get them their favorite sandwich, whatever it is. If you want to be close to them, you know that if gift giving is what I got to do, I'm going to learn how to do that if I want to have a close relationship. It's the same thing in worship. It's saying, God, I want to learn how to worship you and express my heart to you in new ways. And here's what I want us to understand this morning. Again, it's not as much about the action as much as it's about the engagement of our hearts. Because that illustration I gave just a moment ago, how many know you can give a gift and your heart cannot be in it? So it's about, God, I'm going to take steps to worship you with my whole self. I'm going to, whatever that looks like. But even more, I want to give you my whole heart. So it's yes, at church, maybe I'm going to clap my hands a little bit more. Maybe I'm going to sing a little louder. But even more than that, during the week, I want to worship you with my whole self as well. That I'm going to worship you with how I take care of my time. I'm going to worship you in how I steward my attitude throughout the day. I'm going to, in the little things, put you first. Even the little decisions that I make, when it'd be easy for me to just flick on the football game and veg out for a while, I'm going to stop and go, wait, God, what do you want me to do right now? Is there something better that I could do to honor you with my time? Does that make sense? And it's not about a legalism. It's not about having to prove yourself to God or others. But it's saying, God, I want to surrender myself to you and express myself to you with my whole self, with all that I am, with all that I have. So that brings us to our last thing that I want us to recognize about worship is if you're going to grow in the ways of worship, you've got to actively surrender to him. It's going to involve this active surrender. And so, again, I mentioned actions a moment ago. Throughout the scripture, I'll just give you a little list here. Some of the physical expressions that you can see in the Bible are these: kneeling, clapping hands, raising hands, verbalized praise, singing hymns and psalms, weeping, laughing, bearing witness aloud, amen. By the way, when you say amen, it's not like cheering on the preacher. Like when you're bearing witness aloud, what you're saying is, God, I agree with that truth, and I want that truth to enter into my life. And so thank you for that. Hey, I'm going to get more amens now. This is good. But reading the word aloud is another one of them. Prostrating before the Lord, laying yourself before the Lord. Speaking in tongues is another one we read in the Bible. Dancing before the Lord, giving public testimony, standing, silence, spiritual song. In fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there are 11 different Hebrew verbs for active physical worship. One chapter alone, 2 Chronicles 20. We actually studied that one back at the end of March in our Prayer That Moves Heaven series. But 11 different Hebrew verbs for active physical worship. Worship involves this active surrender. In Romans 11, Paul says this. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be the glory forever." So Paul is proclaiming the glory of God, and he's saying, what's the motivation for worship? It's wisdom and knowledge, that we would grow in our knowledge of him, and therefore we would have wisdom in our lives. How do we gain that? Through his presence, through his glory in our lives. And then he calls us to worship through this surrender in Romans 12, where he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and in the perfect will of God. So God calls us to present ourselves to him in worship. Again, kneeling, bowing, raising our hands, all those things are great. Clapping our hands. But the point is, are you presenting yourself wholly before him with this place of surrender that says, God, you are Lord of my life. You are the one leading my life. See, when that begins to happen, when we surrender to him, what begins to happen is it describes in Scripture is that his glory comes in our lives. That it's like his glory begins to seep in. The more of who he is gets into who we are. That when we worship him, we become more like him, and our identity becomes established in him. Now no longer are we trying to find our identity in the things of this world, but we become secure in who we are in him. Again, worship does these things. So again, I ask you this morning, do you want to be close to God? Because if you want to be close to God, worship is the love language. Learning to worship him in these ways. People who want to get close to God and stay God, they're hungry to encounter him. They work to shape this environment of encounter, both in our church, you know, and I want to encourage you this morning. We each play a part in helping people encounter God here at church, don't we? That we can each have a part in that. Our ministry teams, or even those who are in our parking team, those who are in our kids' team, every single one of us can play a part in people encountering God. And it's saying, God, I surrender myself to you, and I want to worship you with my whole self, both in our service and our gatherings, but Lord, in my daily life, I want to surrender to you. I want to close with this illustration of a man named Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford was a Chicago lawyer and a prominent businessman in the 1800s. And he had saved up quite an amount of money as a lawyer, and so he began to invest in real estate. And so he invested in a bunch of real estate in Chicago. But around 1871, the Chicago fire hit, and he lost virtually all of his investment. And then just a couple short years later, his four-year-old son tragically died of yellow fever. And in the aftermath of all of that, he and his wife, Anna, talked about going on a trip to London. They were close friends with a man named D.L. Moody, who was a famous preacher who would travel and hold crusades. And so they thought, let's go with, you know, Reverend Moody and join him in England on his crusades. And so they booked their trip on the big ship. And just about the time they were going to head out over to England, Horatio got word that some business emergencies had come up and he needed to stay behind. So he sent his wife and their four daughters on this trip. And he said, I'll follow shortly. You guys go ahead, and I'll be there within the week. Well, just a couple of days later, Horatio Spafford got word that that boat had had a horrible accident. It was the worst accident at that point in history until the Titanic about 40 years later. But a couple hundred people died in this horrific boat accident in the middle of the ocean. And he got a telegram from his wife saying, saved alone, what shall I do? Saved alone, what shall I do? There's this angst, this turmoil, and so Horatio jumped on the next boat that he could and began to travel to England where she was. And as he was in the middle of the ocean one night, the captain of the boat called him up, and he said, I want you to know that right now, the place that we are crossing over is where the boat capsized and went under. right here in this place. And Horatio at that point went to his room and he got a piece of paper out and he wrote these words. And in these words, they formed a song that said, "When peace like a river tendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll." He gets to the chorus, it is well with my soul. That even through a tragic circumstance, this man came to this place where he drew near to God in worship. He drew near to him in worship in a way that not only changed him, but allowed him to continue to stay close to God. He continued to be used by God in great ways in the future. But can I tell you, not only did his worship through this horrific time, not only did it change him, but it changed countless lives beyond, didn't it? This song, how many millions have been impacted, even come to salvation through that song of worship. And what I want us to understand this morning is this, that as we make worship a priority in our lives, not waiting till the hard times hit, but even, I can tell you right now, Horatio Spafford didn't come up with that song because having never had an ounce of worship before in his life. No, he was a man who stayed close to God, who abided closely in relationship with him. And in the moments when he needed it most, he was able to draw on God's presence to find strength in his time of need. And this morning, as we close our time today, I want us to recognize and even begin to open our hearts to this thought. That as we learn the love language of worship, that we have this incredible opportunity to draw close to God in a way that not only will give us life, but will give life to others. And so I want you to think, first of all, about your own life. How can worship, how can taking a step deeper into worship change you today? Maybe for some of you, you'd say, I know that I need to express myself in worship a little bit more. Or that maybe you even say, all I know is I feel far from God. I feel dry right now. And so I'm going to try worshiping a little bit more. Others, you go, you know, I feel stuck. Maybe you even look around you and you see people around you whose lives are stuck. I want to tell you that as you become a person of worship, your ability to be near to God on their behalf can have a huge impact. And so I want us to just close our eyes for a moment if we could right now. And I want to just give you an opportunity to reflect on this today. And again, answering the question, do you want to be close to God? And if so, are you hungry to become a person of worship? Will you let him lead you into a place of deeper encounter with him? And this morning, I want to just, if that would be something of your heart's desire to say, God, I want to be close to you. I want to encounter you in a greater way. Lord, lead me in those ways of worship. I'm just going to lead us in a simple prayer right now that just a prayer of commitment, a prayer of surrender, a prayer of openness to him. And so, Lord, right now, in fact, if you're one that would say, I want to get in on that prayer. I want to be someone that experiences just a new revitalization in my ways of worship. Would you just kind of open your hand before God right there and just, Lord, right now, we just open ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would lead us and teach us and guide us on how to speak your love language, how to worship you with our whole selves. Lord, maybe for some of us this morning, you're calling us to a place of surrender. Maybe it's surrendering things we don't fully understand. Maybe for some of us, it's surrendering things that we've held on to tightly. Maybe it's surrendering ways that we've been hurt in the past. Lord, whatever it is that we need to surrender, we pray that you would help our eyes to see and our hearts to understand and even give us the strength to do just that, to surrender to you. That your presence can come rushing in and that you can meet us in this place, that you can change us from the inside out, that you can set us free, you can make us whole. Lord, we thank you for your presence right here and right now. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.